Welcome, welcome all. Here we are. About another multi-character actor. That is Ernie Hudson. Welcome back, John.
Always glad to be here.
Yes. So, Ernie Hudson, let's get to it. You know him as Winston in the Ghostbusters films. You know him as also as Detective Albright in The Crow. You know him also from being one of the heroes in Congo, Great Ape Escape, killing, and then as the warden on HBO's Oz. Probably his best role, in my opinion. So, yeah, he's just one hell of an actor. And anytime I see him just show up, he's just, I know, again, like all the Michael Ironsides and Tony Todd's of the world, it's going to make you remember he was in that.
Oh, definitely.
Once again, he's got way too damn much to list, so we'll just go with the best of what we got. What other stuff do you remember him from?
Well, besides all the ones we mentioned, and I gotta mention his role in the, I call the underrated creature film, Leviathan.
Yes, he's in the Leviathan Terror at Sea movie, and has just about every kind of guest spot you can think of. Different Strokes, Little House on the Prairie, Taxi, Dukes of Hazzard. One movie I think I saw him first outside of Ghostbusters was Space Hunter and the Adventure Zone, Forbidden Zone, and that was not good, but it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I want to like it. I do, but it's a turd. It's a really unorganized movie, and he has fun being in it. He has brief roles in a bunch of other just comedies like Going Berserk, as well as the real-life Larry Cohen scripted TV drama Wound of San Quentin, and then does plenty of other guest spots like the A-Team. He's briefly on Saint Elsewhere as a firefighter trying to get the passion to heal. He's in the Adam West sitcom The Last Precinct, and guest stars in other stuff like The New Mike Hammer and Full House. So wild, though, how for the longest time he did various voiceovers on Pound Puppies, one of the Dirty Dozen TV movies, so I keep forgetting other stuff he's in, but, you know, he's always the best part of anything because he will never play the same exact role. He knows how to, he has the charisma down to a T. He is just, his middle name should be C, as in charisma, because he just fits in anything that he's a part of. So then he's briefly on the Stephen J. Cannell produced Broken Badges with Miguel Ferrar. You can get that on DVD or on YouTube. And he plays the mute caretaker on The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, the garden guy. Always takes you a minute to realize, God, that was such a realistic, just how he was able to communicate with the, just using his eyes and his hands. Mm-hmm. And more guest spots. You might remember him as the tennis captain on the Ben Stiller Show, plenty of other TV movies and miniseries. I don't think I've seen his Tales from the Crypt episode, but I'll have to check it out.
That one.
Was that a good one?
That was actually a solid one, particularly his performance, which was...
What did he play?
Very... Well, it was very atypical of him, especially during that time.
Nice. But... Yeah, so then, 94, big-ass year. He has taken off. You know, Sugar Hill gets to wider release. He has a brief gangster supporting role in that, and that was interesting for him because you kind of assume that he sold out the gangsters, but he kind of had, for the brief time on screen, you get a sense that he's looking over his shoulder like, you know, someone's gonna snipe him at any time. And I was like, that was interesting because anyone else would have probably just, you know, said their lines on time and walked off, and he gave it a backstory without even having to. It works. But yeah, so Singer did The Crow. He was in No Escape, you know, just a fun apocalyptic movie. And then The Cowboy Way.
That he, oh, I was going to say.
Oh, totally.
That's a character that, while it's a small role, he manages to bring that to life, even something small as that.
He has all like the best talking parts where he's just like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, we're outnumbered. We got all these guys terrorizing our village.
So you also have one's like the Arrowheads he shows up in.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Which was fun to see.
And once again, making fun of the... So again, yeah, he did that back-to-back with the cowboy way. And this is like he had a shtick for just playing just the cop, I think, at that point. Just, he's in the same year he's doing The Crow. He's like, yeah, if you need a cop, choose Ernie Hudson.
Which I have no problem with whatsoever.
Yeah, he's a really convincing cop. It makes you wonder if he knew someone in his family who was a cop or something, or knew friends. I don't know, because the only thing we can find on his... just his various biopics is just talking about how when he wasn't getting any acting roles, he basically just started working with theater groups and writing his own material to perform on stage. I just find that just so awesome how he activated his own career. Eventually some producer saw him and said, I gotta cast that guy.
Thank God that happened.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And then 95, Basketball Diaries. I don't remember who he played because I'm not crazy about that movie. But then Congo. I also did forget about Speechless. He kind of has a few amusing lines in that political comedy. Gina Davis and Michael Keaton. But let's talk about The Substitute. This is a great top movie.
I love particularly his performance. That it's, like I said, just like the Tales of the Crypt episode, that it's not your typical performance of Ernie Hudson, and that's why I love it, because it showed that he does have range outside of him just playing a normal guy. Exactly. And plus, you get to see him and Tom Berenger fight, which A plus for me. Come on now.
Yes, Berenger is the man. Say what you will about his career, that dude never phones in a performance. And more or less, from that point on, I just wasn't ever surprised at what kind of roles he was in from that point on. He just, any chance he got, he would sneak in like a guest spot or a voice acting gig in between seasons of Oz. So it was always cool. Can't lost track of how many times he would play a gangster or dad or a politician. And steadily working also in just TV movies of the week also. And then let's go with The Watchers, just back to Copville. He's the SWAT commander in that.
Yeah.
Leading the manhunt. And then thanks, James Spader's in over his head. How about Miss Congeniality movies?
Well, that's also a very interesting role for him. Because...
Right, he's spoofing cop roles, and then
that's pretty much what he's doing. But I mean, he's utilized better than the first movie in the sequel, I'd say.
Oh yeah,
the sequel, he's not getting much to do at all.
Right, just show up. Hey, I take it too. He's in Wakawanda Blues, which is just another, again, 50s set movie, just talking about blue collar urban towns, playing the blues, baby. And from that point on, let's talk about, just even more short films, festival movies, stuff I haven't even heard of, but I would love to see. And TV movies of the week, even Ron Clark's story for TNT, plays the principal. It's a whatever role. He does good. It's in an episode of Crossing Jordan as a colonel. Wouldn't be surprised if that's how he got the role in the similar set Boston show, Rosalind Howes, where he plays a Navy commander as well as a dad of one of the characters. So. And then that episode of Stargate he shares with the guy who we'll be talking about, Michael Ironside, both in rare good guy roles. Once again, plays a colonel patient on ER for a few seasons, then shows up and an anthology of Snoop Dogg's Hood of Horror. So there you go.
Which I have not seen.
There you go. And then he's on Desperate Housewives. I've never seen it, but he played a cop.
And Cold Case as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said.
Gotta do those guest spots, baby. And stars in the Keith Carradine All-Star Cast, Western All Hat. Based on my 5 out of 10 rating, I clearly didn't care for it. brief guest spots on Las Vegas. I don't recall it, but I'm sure it was funny. And on the miniseries Final Approach, just another hostage thriller, plays the superior who, you know, demotes the hero. And then let's talk about playing Gus's first dad on site. There's many other dads that show up. It's the running joke. Get a famous black actor to play Gus's dad.
That was so fun.
First it's John. Yeah, then it's John Amos. Then it's freaking Keith David, who's a similar actor. Yep. You lose track. Now, but he probably had the best one out of all the guys, because basically he was being framed. He's like, what? I mean, I cut his bushes. I didn't even kill the guy. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if he was trained by working with Adam West, because basically he and Ironside can both do the whole just make everything funny, even if it's not funny. Like, just do it straight, but play along with everybody. You never get a sense that they're not in on the joke on whatever they do. That's great. So endless other movies and shows and brief. Oh, that's right. He plays one of the lawyers on Bones briefly. And yeah. Bunch of other indies and guest spots and playing cops again and generals. Best part, his bald head is the best part of Dragon Ball Evolution. So.
I forgot he was in that thing. Oh, God.
More police captain roles. He was the best part about Smoking Aces 2. Briefly shows up in the indie film Machete Joe as the sheriff. And again, like that movie was already way more decent than compared to what its rating claimed. And, but he just elevated it. He was so on the actors' levels, even without making them feel unwelcome or unfit to be part of the movie. And it's like, that's great. For what probably took a day, you elevated the movie. And then plays Van Buren's boyfriend, Frank, on the last season of Law and Order. And that was great, too.
That was.
He just knows how to speak without even saying anything. He's dynamite. Probably one of the best voiceover roles in the stupid sequel to another stupid Disney movie called Beverly Hills Chihuahua. Does plenty of other guest spots, Children's Hospital, Criminal Minds, White Collar, Torchwood. I Met Your Mother, he plays himself. I think I did see that episode.
I think I did as well.
I don't know why. I think it was a heavily promoted episode or something.
I think so.
And back to, again, indies and TV movies and then mainstream guest spots. This dude is just immortal. He's immortal. He should have been a Highlander.
Now that would have been fascinating.
Are you listening? Are you listening, Hollywood? And once again, voiceover guest role to Beverly Hills Chihuahua 3. I didn't see that one. Sorry, it's a bunch of other indies. I hear the Western Ambush at Dark Canyon, everyone should totally see. Pretty well produced. Just shows you that people can be independent and actually do a good job making a movie. Then stars in, once again, another horror anthology called Nosferajim. Never heard.
Never heard of that.
But he looks hysterical holding a knife on that cover. Never heard of it. Looks fun. They're schlocky.
I'm sure it is.
Could not be. Then just nonstop. Plays a judge on Guys with Kids. I recall that being a really bad Jimmy Fallon produced show. Anthony Anderson. But if you want to see it, I'm sure you can find it on Prime or Peacock. Then on, once again, does a cartoon voiceover for Dan Versus. He was really good as like the Speaker of the House who was staging a coup in the show Last Resort. Where can you find that to stream? You can find it on Crackle. Easy, easy binge watch. Wraps it up all perfectly. 13 episodes, you'll want more by the end. And then, again, just trucking along, just start. Only abysmal movie on his entire resume, I gotta say, is Battle Dogs.
Yeah, that I can tell just from the cover.
It was bad. I saw it live. I didn't have a choice. I was like, this is a piece of wank, but it's so funny seeing him in it because he and all the other actors at various points break character. He just guffaws at the screen. And he's like, he didn't care. Why would I? And connection to a friend of the show, Ashley Judd. So he stars in her anthology, Call Me Crazy, a 5-film talking about anthology about people inflicted with breast cancer. Then goes back to voice acting. We covered Transformers, everything, and he was part of Transformers Prime as he was the main, like, NSA, like, CIA agent. And once again, does a few other indies that star the likes of Robert Davi and Joe Estevez, and does TV specials, and then shows up as one of the mob bosses on Mob City, which was a great TNT show. And once again, more Hallmark stuff, more guest spots on sitcoms. And I really actually, even though it came on Lifetime, this was a pretty, and was mocked on The Soup, I actually found this a pretty stunning true crime movie called The Grim Sleeper, where he and Michael O'Neill of the Unit fame got to play detectives going after a real life case. And they just both just had it down to a T. It's like, yeah, this is great. Then stars in the Hilary Swank, Joshua Hamill drama, You're Not You, which I hear is good, but I have not seen. And then from that point on, just again, repeat, repeat, repeat. It's never gets old. Then plays the judge on Franklin and Bash. I only really saw parts of that show. Plays a dad in a Key and Peele skit, and then plays himself on Hot in Cleveland. Then plays King Poseidon on an episode of Once Upon a Time. And then stars in, again, just a TV One original movie, To Hell and Back. Basically, It's a Wonderful Life. A guy has to question his faith and everything. Then does a Kevin Sorbo faith movie. And then does one episode, and probably one of my favorite episodes of Robot Chicken, where he got to play not only himself, but like as a detective and as a judge and as a dad. This was an ultimate parody. Then it's a hysterical episode because he's also playing against a lot of the other nerdy recurring characters, as well as Bitch Pudding. And it's like, I'm reprimanding you, Bitch Pudding. Great shit. And plays Lucius Fox, you know, the character Morgan Freeman played in Batman Bad Blood, one of the animated movies. Plays a judge again in God's Not Dead 2. I only saw the trailer for that. I was dying. I was on the floor laughing. All the talents wasting their time in that shit fest. And it was just so hysterical just seeing, just again, just he always has that voice down to a G. No, you will not. I'm Ernie Hudson. And speaking of which, I can't go a day without hearing that Thomas J. Henry car prevention ad. Don't drink and drive. And it's a hysterical ad because he's literally in front of the Ghostbusters mobile.
That's crazy.
It's great. Oh, so you've seen that ad too.
I've seen an ad, yep.
I kept hearing the radio version of it. I was like, oh. So then recurring role as neighbor Miles on Modern Family. I always light up each time he's on. I'm like, hey, he's already Hudson.
Right, I always enjoy when he shows up on there. You know?
Mm-hmm. He's in every season, good season, bad season. He's on the political satire Graves with Cela Ward and Nick Nolte. I'm sure it's got to be funny. It looked funny, much like Alpha House. Then plays the captain on APV. Saw some of that. I was very let down by it. Plays a colonel role once again on the recent season Twin Peaks, just like Ashley Judd. And did you see any of Angie Tribeca? That was a Naked Gun kind of Police Academy kind of show that was on TBS for a while.
I actually did not see that one.
So basically, newsflash, he plays a dad.
Of course.
He plays her dad, Pete. And it was just so funny how they had a timeline. There's just like, they keep hinting, one day I'm going to meet my dad. Tell him how much I love him. And he shows up and then he basically escapes. She's like, no, dad, never want anything to do with me. And Ernie, again, he's just good at just playing with all just the spoofy role that it is. And just it's like, I love you. I think I love you. After that, just more guest spots, more voiceovers, stuff I don't even recall him being on. Apparently on the cartoon show Hot Streets, I saw part of it. I don't remember it, but it's decent for what it is. Guest spot on Arrow, voice acting in one of the NBA games, then recurring role as, again, one of the friends on Grace and Frankie.
I do remember that role.
Yeah, it was a good role. And recurring role on Disney's Puppy Dog Pals. There you go. Then okay. Gabriel Union's ex-cop dad on LA's Finest. Then he had a brief role in the movie Redemption Day, which I thought was pretty cool. But I don't recall him or Robert Nepper in it, so I will have to rewatch it. It's a cool spy film. Not a must-see, but cool. And then, here we go.
Let's see, he's on the episode MacGyver.
Yep, the new one. Surprised he wasn't on the old one.
I guess I couldn't get him at the time.
Get him. He's played the president in a bunch of B-movies. He should play the president, you know, in a big mainstream movie. I guarantee you, everyone will watch it. He can hide his age pretty well. I really am surprised. If you had to give me a guess of how old he is, I wouldn't know. Probably 70, maybe almost 80. He's just good at hiding it. He's just always had the gray hair. Dark gray hair. Yeah. You know, his son acted for a while, Junior. And then, yeah, he appeared, reprised his role on Ghostbusters Afterlife. What can I say? He's really good on The Family Business. I haven't seen it all the way through. It just seems to be another just gangster show that varies by quality. But hey, it's going on in 3 seasons now, so someone's watching it.
Somebody is.
And he's going to be in the upcoming season of City on a Hill, so cannot wait.
I see he's also has what they call the retirement plan with him, Nicolas Cage, and Ron Perlman.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a fun heist movie. So his character's name on City on a Hill is Ward. That would mean I'll give you a hint. He's probably a father of Aldous Hodge's character, because Aldous Hodge's character is ADA Ward. Let's connect the dots here, people. Why wouldn't he play a dad?
Exactly.
And so, yeah, he's got a bunch of other projects. John Carl Boogler movie. I thought he died.
I guess it's one that they haven't finished.
Didn't he work on Leviathan with him?
I think he did.
There you go. Mistaken. There's a connection. Well, so why is Ernie basically exempt from any criticism whatsoever?
Because he hasn't phoned in the performance. That's what I've always said about him.
Ever.
Even if he's in a bad film, he manages to save it, I would say, every time.
He's just as the best part about any movie, because he really just focuses on, I think, just the truth. Just tell the truth on screen. What does the character say? I didn't know he was a reserve deputy sheriff for actually in the San Bernardino office for 14 years, so that's pretty awesome. So, listed in the Marine Corps, but was medically discharged due to asthma. So, damn, okay. But yeah, trained at Yale University, so the best of the best. It's a bunch of giant family. Yeah. Well, how it works. He almost was in that awful 96 Doctor Who movie, but Eric Roberts won the role. That's okay. I wouldn't recommend being on that. Hosted Cinemax's Summer of 1,000 Movies. That's hysterical. It's been something that happened in the 90s or something.
It must have.
So, what do you think you remember him for the most outside of Ghostbusters? Oz.
Well, I always remember him not only from The Crow, but also his roles in Congo, and as I said, for Leviathan, it's one I always.
Yeah, he's starred in just so many movies of different kinds, and yet you just really get a sense that he could carry the movie even by himself, regardless of whether he's in charge or not. I just don't ever feel like there's going to be a time where he can not be fully active. Like, I never get a sense that he doesn't like acting. I've never heard any fucked up thing about him bitch slapping someone or refusing to do what the director asked. And I think everyone just loves him so much, they'd leave him alone, I bet. Mm-hmm. He never does any shortage of doing conventions. He's like, yep, I'll talk about Ghostbusters for the billionth time. I love it.
And occasionally he'll get questions about the other films, hopefully.
Yeah.
I hope so. Just saying.
Yeah. Ask him more, guys. Ask him more.
Ask him about Congo, No Escape, Leviathan, whatever. Come on now.
Yeah. Any blockbuster movie. Anything. So, thank you for being on here once more. And go ahead and talk. And done.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.